this is we're back in what's called ordinary time. There's nothing ordinary about it except it's ordinatus. It's organized, and that's the beginning. And so we start with the book of Samuel, which is the first of the, you see, there's the Torah, which is Genesis to Deuteronomy. And then there's the Nevi'im, the prophets, and then the law, and then the writings. So these belong in the prophetic books of what we're reading now from Samuel. And this is the story of the birth of Samuel. It's interesting how many of the great figures were born of barren women. That's a tradition. A barren woman in Hebrew is an akerah. You know that. I told you that before, right? And so the list of the akerot, you find it, for instance, in the genealogy of Matthew. You know, the women who are listed in that genealogy, there's something wrong with every one of them. And why does he put them in? To show you how deeply our Lord has embraced our humanity. He counts among his ancestors Rahab, a harlot, Ruth, a non-Jew, and so forth. And so that's the point here. She's weeping. And tomorrow, Eli, suppose they'll tell us that tomorrow. You know, he thinks she's drunk. Yeah. Nidai the priest will tell her to go home. It's going to be all right. And that's the beginning of the conception of Samuel. Why does God do that? There's plenty of ordinary things by which he comes to us, including bread and wine. It's to teach us not to despise anything that the Lord sends to us. And so then we begin the gospel. And we begin with the 14th verse of chapter 1 of Mark. The earlier verses are all about John the Baptist. And after John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee. He's already in Galilee. He's a Galilean himself. Proclaiming, and they put the gospel of God. Well, what can I do? You know, but it's the good news. Gospel means, you know, good news, God spell, right? But here it should have just said the good news of God. Everything this people has ever yearned for, everything the prophets have ever foretold, now is going to happen. That's the good news. And so this is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. So what's the reaction to the presence of the kingdom of God? Remember what John was preaching?
Repent.
Turn from sin. Be ready to welcome the kingdom of God. that's why at the beginning of every Mass, we repent. Purify our hearts and to be ready for the coming of the kingdom of God, the king and the kingdom, right here. And that's why we do that. Now we have a vocation story. This is also a biblical theme. I got to watch my time, but we're doing fine. A lot of the Old Testament, as well as New Testament stories of vocation, are all the same. The one to be called is about his business, and the caller comes and calls him, and he follows. The example for many of these is the way Elijah called Elisha. Remember that? You should go home and get a Bible study going or something. Elisha was plowing with his father's ox, 12 yoke of oxen. And Elijah came along, threw his cloak over him. And he said, well, let me go home and say goodbye to my father. And Elijah said, what have I done to you? In other words, it's up to you now. Now, he let him go home. Remember when the fellow wanted to do that? And our Lord called him and he said, nobody who puts his hand to the plow, remember Elisha was plowing, right? And looks back, you can't go back. Elisha could go back, that was the old covenant. Now you just drop everything and follow me. And so that's what happened. So he passed by the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea, because they were fishermen. And he said, come after me and I will make you fishers of men. Then they left their nets and followed him right away. He walked a little further and he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. He called them. And so they left their father Zebedee in the boat along with the hired men and followed him. In other words, called by God is pretty serious stuff. And now people are called differently in the Christian dispensation. Every Christian is meant not to get so involved in the world that their minds are taken away from God. But not every Christian is called to be an apostle or a bishop or a celibate, but they're called. And for every one of us, it means dropping everything and following. Now, how? That depends on every person. You know, St. Louis of France was a king, and he's a saint. How did he leave everything? Certainly in his heart. And then he went out and fought and was a prisoner for a while and so forth. He didn't have an easy life. The point is, as we begin this cycle of readings, and we start with Mark's gospel, you see, we start with this call of disciples. First thing that Jesus does when he's going to start preaching the gospel is what? Get a good manager, find a good radio program. He calls a community. And so he's working with these men and he's forming them. They don't know it yet. Huh? And Peter doesn't know. He's going to be the first pope. He just knows that God, through this man, is calling him and he's going to go. And the rest will open up as it goes along. And once he calls Jesus, he never uncalls. You can say, well, I've sinned so much, well, he's given up on me. Never. And the example? Peter. He stood right there and lied about knowing Jesus. Jesus gave him a chance to make it up and then made him the pope. So when Jesus calls, it's unbreakable. We can try to get away from it. We can do it if he'll let us go. But from his side, it's always there. So we could tonight, this morning, we could get down on our knees and say, Lord, to whatever you've been calling me and I've been resisting you, I give in. And see what happens.